What up, what up, what up, ladies and gents, boys and girls, you are now tuned in to a brand new episode of Sportsway with Dre Day Podcast. I am your host with the most, the Hood's ESPN, Crystal Street's Golden Boy, Dre Day. What's up, what's up, what's up? This is episode 297, episode 297 of Sportsway with Dre Day Podcast. Three more episodes to go for 300. Well, two more, okay? Two more episodes to 300. Once again, I want to thank everybody for their continued support. Keep it going. Keep it flowing, okay? This episode here, James Harden. Drama with him again. And now he's taking it up with probably the only GM that has pretty much vouched for him and given him everything he's wanted. And that would be Daryl Morey. He's taking stabs at him and saying things about him. So we're going to speak on that. The Liberty have once again beat the Las Vegas Aces. So the question is, does the Liberty have the Aces number? We're going to dive into that. Something that I predicted a few episodes ago has come to fruition. Dalvin Cook has chose to go to the New York Jets. We're going to speak on that as well. The NBA schedule has been announced, some of it. You know, I think the Christmas games were announced. And I think the opening night games, and I think some games in between, some notable games, was announced as well. So I'm going to, you know, speak on those. Listen, my Yankees, man, let's just get these niggas the fuck up out of here. And it pains me to even say that, but the season that they're having this year has been nothing but abysmal. And then, of course, you know, the Would You Rather segment that I have now instituted on my podcast. We're going to end the episode with that. And then, of course, I have to give my shout out at the end of this episode, because this shout out was supposed to be in one of my last two episodes, but I totally forgot. And this person deserves a shout out, and I'm going to give this person a shout out at the end of this episode. But again, before we get into all of those, let's start with the first segment, and that would be with this diva ass nigga, James Harden. Now, for all of y'all that know, I am not the biggest James Harden fan. I'm not. Now, I respected him when he was in OKC, came off the bench. I believe he won a Sixth Man of the Year award. Okay, by all means, happy for you. We then now get to, I believe he goes to Houston. I think he was there for about he had a good stint there. Won an MVP there, won a couple of scoring titles, flourished in Mike D'Antoni's system with averaging 30-plus points a game a season, all that bullshit, right? Somewhere along the line, he ran himself out of Houston. He then comes to Brooklyn. Still wasn't a fan of his, but I was happy he was playing in Brooklyn. Somehow, some way, he gets himself out of Brooklyn. He then goes to Philly. And now, somewhere along the line, he wants out of Philly. He was in China, I believe, early this week or last week, and a video was put on display where he basically said that the Sixers GM, Daryl Morey, is a liar. And he never wants to play for, you know, basically he doesn't want to play for somebody that's a liar and this, that, and the third. But see, my whole thing is this. What did he lie about? Because see, my whole thing is this. If you have been inconsistent when it comes to your performance, which he has. He's been very inconsistent. especially when it come playoff time. He's been very consistent, and it's happened since he's been in the league, okay? Probably only one year I could say he had a real good playoff year, and that's when he was with the Thunder, okay? Every other time, it's been choke after choke after choke after motherfucking choke when it comes to James Harden, okay? This year was no different. They had a 3-2 lead against the Boston Celtics. Usually when you got a 3-2 lead, you close that series out. And what happened? Game 6, he choked. And then Game 7, he definitely choked because they got their ass beat in Boston. They got shit. They got dog shit beat out of them. Okay? He opts into his final year. Then it was reported that how, oh, he wants to be traded. So here he goes again, being the diva, trying to get his way out of a situation. He did it in Houston. What did he do? Got his way out of Houston. Coming into camp overweight, or maybe it was a bodysuit or some shit. Who knows? But he got what he wanted. He then comes to Brooklyn. Gets his way. Gets out of Brooklyn. Where did he want to go? He wanted to go to Philly. He wanted to go to Brooklyn. So the two destinations he wanted to go to, he got to. Now it's being reported that he wants to go to, well, the rumors is that he wants to go to the Clippers, because I believe he's from LA or some shit, so he wants to go to the Clippers. This is just my humble opinion, my honest opinion. I think if any team takes a gamble on James Harden, they're making a big mistake. Because he has proven year after year after year to be a choke artist. And his stock is not the way it used to be in the NBA, contrary to popular belief. Can he play? Absolutely he can play. He can get you 25 plus points. He can get you 9 to 10 assists a game. He can definitely get to the free throw line a good 15 to 16 times with all this flopping shit that he does. He can do those things. That's not what's in question. What's in question is the other shit. Your commitment to a team. Focused on yourself. Those are the issues that are now becoming a concern when it comes to James Harden. So for any team out there that may be looking to go after him, good luck with that. There was even rumors of them saying how, oh, the Knicks may want to take a go at him. Look, I'm not a Knicks fan by any stretch of the imagination, but I will hope the Knicks don't go after him, because New York don't need that, and New York don't deserve that at all. So I hope that's not the case. I'm hoping that they're not trying to go out there to get James Harden and bring him to New York, because the state, the city don't need him. They don't need him. So we just gonna leave it at that on that note. But again, this dude has been a diva for Lord knows how long. Okay. And then I read somewhere where they said Dwight Howard was trying to lure him to, I think, Taiwan, where he's at, or some shit. Listen, the way things is going with James Harden right now, I wouldn't be surprised if that motherfucker wind up in fucking China. Honestly, in my opinion. Because he's burning bridges in the NBA. And the one thing we do know is that owners and GMs stick together. And besides, the future is so bright with the league right now, from the aspect of the young talent. You ain't missing nothing with James Harden not being there. Trust me, you're not missing nothing. You're not. You know, I just feel bad for Joel Embiid. That's who I feel bad for. Dude just won an MVP. Dude just got married. And now he's, you know, cleaning up his Twitter profile by taking everything Philadelphia out of it. Now, me personally, I think he's just trolling the Philadelphia 76ers and basically telling them, yo, y'all need to get it together. But, there was an interview that we heard about him a while ago where he said that, he wants to win a championship in Philly or anywhere. So basically, he basically letting it be known like, yo, I mean, I want to win here, but if I got to win somewhere else, so be it as well. So, I feel bad. I feel bad for Embiid, man. He's been getting the short end of the stick when it comes to these so-called superstars that's been on his team. Obviously, we all know the shit with Ben Simmons, and now he has to deal with this drama with James Harden. Just goes to show you that Tyrese Maxey is the Robin to Joel Embiid's Batman. That's where the Sixers need to be focusing their attention on now, that young man. Now, see, my question is, does Philly play hardball? Do they don't trade James Harden? Because if they don't trade him, then, is he going to sit out? Is he going to miss training camp? Is he going to miss preseason? Yada, yada, yada. Listen, he's done with the Philly fans. He's done with the Philly fans. Let's get that over with. They ain't fucking with him right now, for all I know. So maybe it'd be a good thing for him to not play for the Sixers, because if he was, believe me, he ain't going to get a good reaction from that Sixers crowd. That's for damn sure. I mean, I don't think it'd be worse than what they gave Ben Simmons when he made his return. But nonetheless, I don't think it'd be a good reception for James Harden if he was to be back in the Sixers uniform. That's just my opinion. But again, he's a diva. When he doesn't get what he wants, he has an issue. When it's always drama, he tries to deflect. But this is coming from a player from who has multiple seasons of inconsistency in the postseason. That's got to count for something. You can put up these amazing numbers all you want in the regular season. Like, for me, like, people say Peyton Manning is the greatest regular season quarterback ever. You can make a case that James Harden might be the greatest regular season player ever in the NBA. Because he'll do all this amazing shit in the regular season. But when it come playoff time, which is mid-April, going into May, June if you're lucky, he disappears. And this has been a recurring act with him every single year. Every single year. And then people got the nerve to put him in the top five of all-time shooting guards? Y'all motherfuckers is crazy. Y'all niggas is tripping. Now, we all know it's Jordan, Kobe, D-Wade, Iverson. Some people have even made the case that James Harden belongs in that class. No, he does not. No, he does not. Because I got one shooting guard that nobody talks about that I would take over James Harden in a heartbeat. I would take him over James Harden twice on Sunday, and that'd be Reggie Miller. Why? Because Reggie Miller got heart. Was he as skillful as James Harden? Of course not. Of course not. Can he dribble like James Harden? Of course not. Now, on the flopping aspect, they might be neck and neck on that. But see, here's the thing. When it was time to make that game-winning shot, when it was time to make that big, important shot, not even a game-winning shot, a shot just to get back in the game, Reggie Miller would make those shots. When you needed him the most, Reggie Miller was there, and he showed up. Can we say that for James Harden? No, we can't. The track record shows he's choked on so many occasions when it's come the postseason. So for all of y'all that puts him in that top five echelon of all-time shooting guards, I gotta question y'all basketball knowledge, because y'all just fascinated with the numbers. See, the numbers don't mean everything. They don't. Trust me when I tell you, stats don't mean everything. And this is a prime case. Because James Harden is not a top five shooting guard of all time. Y'all can miss me with that bullshit. Y'all can miss me with that nonsense. But enough of that. let's get to something that I enjoy talking about. And that would be the WNBA. The Commissioner's Cup just took place on Tuesday. And the two teams that were heavily favorite to be a part of that Commissioner Cup was the New York Liberty and the Las Vegas Aces. When this, again, I know I keep repeating this because it's the truth. Before the season started, when all the moves were made in free agency, the two teams that everybody had their eyes glued to was the Aces and the Liberty. To the point that you had people saying, to the point where you've had people saying that the WNBA now has two super teams, which indeed they do. There's no denying that. And so far, those two super teams have held up their end of the deal. We all believe that the WNBA Finals matchup at the end of this season will be the Aces and the Liberty, right? Now, the Commissioner Cup, for those of y'all that don't know, that is a mid-season tournament that represents the best team in the Eastern Conference and the best team in the Western Conference. And what happens with the Commissioner Cup is teams will be vying for a good prize for the amount of $500,000 during the championship game. That's what the Commissioner Cup is. Each player on the winning team will earn up to an extra $30,000. So whatever is on their contract now, which we know the WNBA, the women don't get paid much, right? So if your team makes the Commissioner Cup and your team wins, you, as a player on that team, gets an extra $30,000. And the runner-up gets an extra $10,000. Also, the MVP of that game will get an extra $5,000. So are y'all following? That's what the Commissioner Cup is. I'm okay with it. And I've been okay with it. I think this is probably the third or fourth year that they've done it. And, you know, I enjoy it. But the point is this. Does the New York Liberty have the Aces number? Well, they've played them three times this season so far, and I believe they're going to play them again on Thursday. The Aces are 1-2 against the New York Liberty. 1-2. They are 1-2 against the New York Liberty so far this season. Okay? Again, they just played on Tuesday in the Commissioner Cup. And the Liberty went to work. 82-63. Okay? Johannes came off the bench and went to work for the Liberty, draining 5 3-pointers and had 17 points in total. Jonquel Jones had 16 points and 15 rebounds. Won the MVP. So remember that MVP thing I talked about? Remember, she was already a part of the winning team. So that's an extra $30,000. Then she wins MVP. So now she gets an extra $35,000. Good job to her. Sabrina Ionescu went to work. Stewie went to work. Okay? The Aces are 1-2 this season against the Liberty. So the question that I have for y'all is, does the Liberty have the Aces number right now? It's looking like they do. And I will tell you this, though. Asia Wilson, let me tell you something. I love me some Asia Wilson. But I got to call a spade a spade. Against the Liberty this season, she has struggled. She has struggled against the New York Liberty this season. Okay? Remember, they've played each other 3 times this season. They're 1-2. She's only averaging 11 points against the Liberty. She's only averaging 5 rebounds against the Liberty. She's shooting 30% from the field against the Liberty. Now, against everybody else, the numbers are the same. The numbers are expected. Almost 22 points a game. 10 rebounds a game. Over 50% from the field. Those numbers are amazing. MVP-type numbers. She's having an MVP year. But against the Liberty, that's a different ball game. And again, when it comes to the MVP race in the WNBA, there are 2 names that are primarily thrown around, especially these last 3 seasons. Asia Wilson and Breonna Stewart. Those are the 2 names that everybody talks about when it comes to the MVP race, right? But there's one other name that needs to be thrown in there. And that's Thomas from the Connecticut Sun. She has to be in that conversation as well. I think it's a 3-woman race for MVP this year. But back to the task at hand. Does the Liberty have the Aces number? And so far, I have to say that they do. Now, on record, yes, the Aces still have the best record. Yes. They're the defending champs. So they're going to get the respect regardless off that. But I'm just talking about as far as them playing the New York Liberty. The Liberty have their number. And let's be real. Let's be real for a minute. Let's be real for a moment. The Liberty's bench is much more deeper than the Aces. Because let's just be real. With the Aces bench. Because again, I pay attention, okay? I don't just watch YouTube and look at the stats. I pay attention, okay? Aside from Asia Wilson, again, she's a starter. Kelsey Plum, Chelsea Gray. All right? I'm going to throw in Kia Stokes because right now she's in the starting lineup because Candace is out. And I'm going to get to that in a few. Aside from those names that I just mentioned. Oh, I forgot Jackie Young. That's the starting lineup. Who comes off the bench for the Aces that actually produce? Clark is touch and go. She's very inconsistent. So aside from her, who else comes off that bench to produce? Nobody. Carson doesn't produce. Now, if you count her posting her pictures on IG, her posting her IG stories, okay, then yeah, she's producing. Bell is not doing nothing. Coach is not doing anything. These women don't even average 5 minutes a game. Everything is the starters. The Aces starting lineup plays the majority of the game for them. So, if they bench don't produce, if they starters don't produce, they have no chance of winning. So, luckily for them, their starters is putting in all the work because they have no bench. Now, come postseason time, they're going to need a bench. Trust and believe they're going to need a bench. But see, here's the thing with the New York Liberty. Their bench is deep. Their bench is deep. Thornton puts up good numbers coming off the bench. Big Mama Steph, who just came back from injury, she puts up decent numbers. Now, yeah, she's not going to average 10 points a game, but I tell you what she will do. She'll play good defense. She will crash boards. She will set those screens where they need to be set. She will do what she has to do. It's the small things that Big Mama Steph is going to do. It ain't just scoring. It's not just scoring. It's other things that come with it that she's going to do. Okay? The Liberty's bench is much deeper than the Aces. Okay? We know what Sabrina gonna do. We know what Stewie gonna do. We know what Vandersloot's gonna do. We know what Jonquel Jones is gonna do. We know what Laney gonna do. We know that already. The bench is the factor. And that's where I give the edge with the Liberty. Their bench is way more advanced than the Aces. Now let's get to the elephant in the room. We all know Candace is not there, right? We have no timetable of when she's coming back. But I tell you this, though. After these previous two losses, to the New York Liberty. Now, again, they're playing each other again on Thursday. And obviously, Candace will not be there for that game. Could you imagine if they lose three straight games to the Aces? I mean, to the Liberty. And again, they played them again at the end of the month. August 28th. It'll be in Barclays. I believe that's my Monday off from work. I might go to that game. Could you imagine if they lose all these games to the Liberty? Can you imagine the confidence booster that is going to give the Liberty going into the playoffs? Because right now, they're the hottest team right now. They are the hottest team right now in the WNBA. And beating the Aces just catapults that. They have the second best record in the league. They have won 6 in a row. Now, I don't know if the Commissioner Cup, if that counts for a win or a loss. I'm not sure, but let's just say it does. They're currently on a 7-game winning streak if you count the Commissioner Cup victory. They're the hottest team right now. The hottest team right now. And on top of that, they done beat the Aces twice. Now, had Candace been here, do I believe the Aces would have won? Probably not, but the scores wouldn't have been the way they are. The last two games, the Liberty are dog walking the Aces. They're embarrassing them. Now, if Candace was there, of course, you know, I'm going to ride with my girl Candace. But do I think even with her absence, could they have beaten the Ace? Could they have beaten the Liberty? Probably not, but the scores wouldn't be the way they are. Because for that, you're telling me that Candace is going to average a good 20-plus. I don't think she can do that anymore. I don't think she needs to, especially with the team that she's on. She don't need to do that. They don't need her for that. They need her for her leadership, obviously. They need her for her defense. They need her for her playmaking ability. And if she can go out there and get you a good 15-15, she can take it. But for her to go out there and average 20-plus, I don't think she can do that anymore at this stage in her career. Nor need to, in my honest opinion. But, again, from the looks of it right now, the Liberty have the Aces number. And again, like I said, they play again on Thursday. They play again on Thursday. Okay? They play again on Thursday. So, I mean, when this episode drops, which will be at the end of the week, who knows? They may be 3-1 against the Aces when you listen to this episode. So, who knows? We're going to see. But right now, from the looks of it, the Aces are getting numbered by the New York Liberty. Yes, indeed. Now let's get to some football. Listen, a few weeks ago, I forgot exactly which episode it was. I said that Dalvin Cook was visiting the New York Jets. Now, what I didn't know was he was going to visit the Dolphins and the Patriots as well. I didn't know that part. I just thought it was only the Jets he was going to visit. So being that he was going to visit the Jets, I'm like, yo, you don't just visit a team just to visit them. Like you looking to join these niggas. So for me, I'm like, yo, he's going to visit them. He going to join them. Let's quit the bullshit, right? We now fast forward to this week. It was reported that Dalvin Cook has joined the New York Jets, which I wasn't surprised. They said that he joined the Jets. Let me see if I could pull up his contract, you know. Let's see. He signed for a one-year deal, $8.6 million. And I believe there's some incentives in there as well. Let me tell you something. It's only one reason. Well, in fact, it's two reasons why he probably went to the Jets. One, obviously, is because of the money. Let's get that straight. And Aaron Rodgers. Those are the two reasons. Because let's be real. What Aaron Rodgers has done with this New York Jets team has been nothing but amazing. But it won't mean shit unless a Vince Lombardi trophy comes to Broadway. Right now, Aaron Rodgers has the Tom Brady effect. Now, before y'all jump down my throat, because first of all, me even mentioning him in the same class with my man Brady is crazy. But let me explain to y'all what I mean by that. What I mean by that is he's changed the culture of the New York Jets. And what I mean by that is he comes here and now everybody wants to come to the Jets now. People will take pay cuts to come to the Jets just because Aaron Rodgers is there. On top of that, he brought some of his guys with him. Randall Cobb, who's been with him for years in Green Bay, has come to him with the Jets. Right? I mean, to the Jets, right? Dalvin Cook. I'm sure the Dolphins might have offered him something. I'm quite sure the Patriots might have done something to him. You know what I'm saying? Like, but he said, you know what? I'm going to go to the Jets. Which, in my opinion, I think was a smart decision anyway, in my opinion. Like, if we're just talking about the teams in the AFC East that he went to go visit, which team made the sense for him to go to? Clearly, it's the Jets. And here's my reason. Let's do the hypothetical. Let's say he would have went to the Dolphins, right? How much burn are you really going to get there? Because you have a quarterback who's injury prone, I might add. But on top of that, that offense is throw friendly. When you have two receivers at that disposal, which is Tyreek Hill and Jason Waddle, you're trying to get the ball in the air. Those are two premier receivers. Tyreek Hill talking shit, talking about he might get 2,000 yards this year. How much burn as a running back do you think you're going to get in that offense? And again, like I said, your quarterback is inconsistent as far as health-wise. He's injury-prone. You want to go to a team that's like that? So let's X the Dolphins out. Let's go to New England now. Coach Belichick goes to who has the hot hand. So one week you may have the hot hand. The next week you might just get what? 10 carries? You going to be okay with that in New England? And then on top of that, you have a quarterback that's inconsistent. Now he might be all right this year because he finally has a true offensive coordinator. But we don't know what to expect out of Mac Jones this season. So you X them out. Logical choice, Green Bay. Because you know Aaron Rodgers is going to hook you up with the ball. We know that. We know that. You're going to get it, you know, behind the line of scrimmage. And you're going to get it in screen passes. So, and you got a chance to compete in the Super Bowl. This is a win-win for you. Why wouldn't you want to take that deal? So, again, I predicted this a few episodes ago, when they announced that he was going to visit the Jets, for me, it was a clear-cut conclusion that he was going there. And now, it's official tissue. Dalvin Cook is now Jets bound. There you have it. I called it. I mean, Zeke went to New England. I was surprised with that one. I was very much Dalvin Cook. Pardon self. I keep saying Dalvin Cook. It's Dalvin Cook. Pardon self. Because I don't like messing up people's name. Because I damn sure wouldn't like nobody messing up mine. But again, Dalvin Cook is going to the Jets. Zeke is going to the Patriots. That one, I was very much surprised. Dude even cut his hair. Oh, well, the cutting hair aspect, I think that has something to do with the culture in New England. Because, you know, the hair he had on top of his head, you know, I think they said, you know what, we need you to cut that down a little bit. You know, I just think some teams, you know, they institute that rule for culture purposes. Because the same thing could be said with my Yankees. I ain't too thrilled with them right now. But the one thing they do is they make you shave. Like, if you got a beard, you got to shave the beard. If you got long hair, you got to shave. You got to shave the long hair. Who was it? I think Johnny Damon, when he came to us. Now, we all know Johnny Damon when he used to play for the Red Sox. That motherfucker's hair was long, right? Come to the Yankees, my man get a buzz cut. Don't even look the same. But hey, he helped us get a ring, so I ain't tripping off of it. But that's neither here nor there. But, yeah. That's pretty much the only news I have in football. And I think the Colts, they announced that Anthony Richardson, the high draft pick, I think he was the fourth pick in this year's draft. They announced that he's going to be the starter for the Indianapolis Colts. Me personally, I don't have a problem with it. The quarterback position in Indianapolis has been to shit since Andrew Luck's unexpected retirement. They tried Phillip Rivers. That didn't play out. They tried Matt Ryan. That didn't play out. They tried Carson Wentz. That didn't play out. You can't go wrong now. Go ahead. Put the young pup out there and see what happens. Now, do I expect him to lead them to the playoffs? Absolutely not. I think that division is either Tennessee or the Jaguars. But let's see if he goes out there and produce. Let's see what he does. I have no problem with them putting him as... Listen, he was the number four pick in this year's draft. If you're going to draft that high and take a quarterback, you might as well start him. You might as well start him. You're going to draft him high at four and then have him come off the bench? No, have him start. It can't get no worse. Shit. Can't get no worse, but we gonna see. We gonna see. So, you know, I wish him the best for sure. I definitely wish him the best. But let's get some NBA news. I mean, I gave y'all some Diva James Harden news earlier, but the upcoming schedule for, you know, for the NBA somewhat was announced. Not all of it, but some of it. Listen, y'all know about that in-season tournament shit, right? Listen, I am not a big fan of that. So, listen. Honestly, I don't give two fucks about that damn tournament shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, I honestly don't. I really don't. I really don't know what they're thinking with this shit. But listen, for me, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. This whole this tournament shit that the NBA doing now, I'm just not too thrilled for it. I'm gonna be perfectly honest with you. I'm just not. So for that, I'm just gonna talk about the regular season, okay? I'm gonna talk about the regular season. The regular season starts, obviously, in October. We know that already, right? We know it starts in October. Opening night. The Denver Nuggets, who are the defending champions, We know how this goes with the NBA. If you are the defending champs, you open the season. You get your championship rings. You get to watch your banner go up in the Raptors. All that, right? The regular season will start October 24th. Usually, I think the season starts the week before, but I digress. It starts October 24th and concludes on April 9th. The All-Star Game will be in Naptown this year. So I'm quite sure my boy O'Shea in Indianapolis and Naptown, I'm quite sure his ass would be at the All-Star Game this year because it's in his hometown in Naptown. So, yes, the regular season starts October 24th. And, yeah, that bullshit in-season tournament, it starts November 3rd, right? 2 days after my birthday. To open the season, the Denver Nuggets will open the season getting their banners. And who will they be playing? Now, see, for me, the team that they said they was going to play didn't surprise me at all. It didn't surprise me at all. Because usually when the season is over and the team is crowned a champ, I immediately start sitting back saying to myself, who are they going to open the season up with next season? And when the Nuggets won the championship, the team that I said that they was going to play opening night, guess what? They're playing opening night, and that will be the Los Angeles Lakers. I knew it. Did you really think that LeBron wasn't going to have an opening night game? Come on now. Let's be real for a moment. Let's be real for a moment. So, yes, the Nuggets are going to host the Los Angeles Lakers opening night. That's the first game. The second game will be the Golden State Warriors hosting the Phoenix Suns. So those are the two games opening night. The defending champ Nuggets and the Lakers. And then you got the Warriors and you got the Suns. Marquee games there. So that right there just tells you how they feel about the Western Conference, that both opening night games is Western Conference games. Usually they like to split the shit up, but that right there just tells you how they feel about the Western Conference. Now let's get to the Christmas games. The Christmas games. Let's get to these Christmas games. In fact, before I do that, let me just go through the whole in-season format bullshit, right? All 30 teams will participate in this, right? All 30 teams will participate, right? That's how it goes. All 30 teams is going to participate. Six group winners move to the knockout round with two wild card teams. So again, it's six groups. It's six groups of five teams. The semifinals and the finals will be played in Vegas. See, they copying off the WNBA, man. Like, the WNBA got the Commissioner's Cup. Now, even though it's not a group thing, but the two teams that meet in the finals play in Vegas. See, they swagger jacking the WNBA, yo. Each game besides the finals will be a regular season game. Each game, except for the final, will be a regular season game. Group play is from November 3rd to November 28th. Group play will be from November 3rd to November 28th. The quarterfinals is December 4th, Jay-Z's birthday. The quarterfinals will be December 4th and December 5th. The semifinals will be December 7th. And then the championship will be December 9th, which is my Uncle Victor's birthday. Yep, I'm shouting people out for their birthdays. That's what I do. Especially if I love you like that. So did y'all get that? Cool. So now I can get back to what I really want to talk about, and that's the schedules for the NBA season, not this in-season tournament crap. The Christmas games. The Christmas games. Yes, indeed. The Christmas games. We got the New York Knicks against the Milwaukee Bucks. Now, I don't know if that's going to be in the Garden or is that going to be in Milwaukee. Because I do know for the past few years, the Knicks have had Christmas games and all of them have been in the Garden. So, I mean, I'm sure this might be a 12 o'clock game. So, if it's a 12 o'clock game, then chances are it's going to be in the Garden. Chances are it's going to be in the Garden. Then we got the Heat and the Sixers. Okay. Then we got the Lakers and the Celtics. The rivalry on Christmas Day. I dig it. We got the Suns and the Mavericks. And then we got the Nuggets and the Warriors. So those are the Christmas games this year. Now, there's some early games that I'm intrigued about. Again, opening night is October 24th, right? The day after that, we get to see the rookie sensation, Victor Wembanyama, make his debut with the Spurs against the Dallas Mavericks. Now, I'm quite sure that game going to be on ESPN. Because usually opening night, TNT has those games. And then on Wednesday, ESPN has them. So I'm quite sure this is going to be an ESPN game. LeBron James and Kevin Durant will play against each other for the first time since 2018. Think about that. These two have not played each other in 5 fucking years. That's crazy. But they will October 26th when the Lakers play the Suns. Well, when the Suns visit the Lakers. That's crazy that they haven't played each other in that long. Dude's been injured. That's why they haven't played each other. Miami will visit Boston in a rematch of the Eastern Conference Finals the last 2 years on October 22nd, which is my cousin Rashida's birthday. Yep, that's right. I'm shouting people out for their birthday. Yep. And then, haha, my birthday, November 1st, haha, the Battle of LA will take place with the Clippers and the Lakers. And, of course, before I end this, you know, I gotta let y'all know when the finals rematch takes place, but we gotta wait all the way to February 29th for that shit. They couldn't even give us the rematch on MLK Day. We had to get that shit in February. February 29th, the Nuggets will visit the Denver Nuggets. The Nuggets will play the Miami Heat in a rematch of the 2023 NBA Finals. We couldn't get the rematch in the finals. We couldn't get the rematch in the finals on Christmas, which in past years we have, especially with the Warriors and Cavs. We was getting that, you know what I'm saying, rematch for the finals. And I think the Lakers and the Celtics too, back in the day when Kobe and Garnett and them was, you know, playing. We was always getting the rematch of the finals on Christmas. This one, they said, nah, man. We not giving it to y'all on Christmas. We not giving it to y'all on MLK. We gonna have this shit all the way at the end of February. So, there you have it. So, those are the notable games so far for this NBA season. There you have it. There you have it. Now, this part that I'm about to speak on is very painful for me. very painful. And it's painful for me because y'all know how much I love my New York Yankees. Y'all know how much I worship my Yankees. I ride with them till the ship sinks. I have been saying for the past, I want to say, 3 out of the last 4 episodes, because one was a wrestling episode, so obviously I didn't speak about baseball on that one. I would say out of the last three of my last four episodes, I have said that the Yankees will not make the playoffs this season. I have conceded that they will not make the playoffs. Well, guess what? My theory is coming to light. Because unfortunately, for the first time since 1995, we are now in the month of August, right? You want to know the last time the Yankees had a losing record in the month of August? Now, yeah, there have been years that they didn't make the playoffs, but they still had a winning record. They still was over 500. Do you know right now the Yankees are 60-61? We are last in the American League East. I know everybody's getting a kick out of that. Everybody. Everybody named Mother's getting a kick out of my boys being in last place. But again, the last time the Yankees were below 500 was in August of 1995. Y'all want me to say it again? In August of 1995 was the last time the Yankees were below 500 in the month of August. That is crazy. That's crazy. That's crazy. But guess what? That is the predicament that we are living in right now. My Yankees are 60-61. You could pack this season up. There will be no playoffs for my Yankees this year. No, it ain't happening. It is not happening. We need to just pack this season up because it's over. It's over. It's over. I feel bad for Gerrit Cole. I really do. Because he's the only pitcher that is consistent. The only one. And then when he goes out there and produces, he don't get no run support. We played the Marlins this past weekend. We gave him a comfortable lead. Now, it did get crazy for him before he came out the game, but we kept it afloat. I believe we was up 7-3 going into the bottom of the ninth. Can you tell me how the can you tell me how the Miami Marlins wind up coming back to win that game? That right there was a gut-wrenching blow to the Yankee season. Then to add insult to injury, we just played the defending, well, I'm not going to say defending champs. We just played the Atlanta Braves. We just played them. We just finished playing them in a 3-game series. And we got swept. We are currently on a 5-game losing streak. We are currently on a 5-game losing streak right now, my Yankees. In the last 2 games, we have been shut out. The last 2 games, we didn't score on Tuesday against the Braves, and then we didn't score nothing on Wednesday. So in 2 games against the Braves, we lost 7-0. The score was 7-0. Let's not talk about the blowout on Monday. We lost 11-3. The Yankees season is over. Pack them up. They're done. There will be no playoffs. And listen, in my honest opinion, it just may be time for Aaron Boone to go. It just might be time for him to go. We have tried to be patient long enough. It just might be time for him to go. Now, has injuries played a part in the season? Yes, it has. I'm not even going to sit here and act like it hasn't. Yes, it has. But at the end of the day, we are the Yankees. The boss, George Steinbrenner, is rolling over in his grave right now, seeing how his team is playing. He rolling over in his grave. He got to be. This is a major disappointment. A huge letdown. I'm going to say that again. Since August of 1995 was the last time the Yankees had a losing record. In the month of August. Now again, yes, the Yankees have had losing records like April or May and shit like that, you know what I mean? And then get on a crazy winning streak and then they over 500. But in the month of August, the Yankees have never had a losing record. When we get to the month of August, the Yankees always had a winning record. That streak snaps now. Just think about that. The last time the Yankees were under 500 this late into the season, my man Derek Jeter wasn't even in the majors yet. He was still in the minor leagues. 9 active Yankees weren't even born yet. They weren't even born yet. Our manager, Aaron Boone, was in Double A. That was the last time the Yankees were under 500 this late in the season. That's some statistics for your ass. So pack up this season. This season is done. It's over. There will be no playoffs. And a lot of changes have to be made. A lot. That pitcher rotation, something's got to give. It's got to give. And I think Boone has to go. I hate to say it. I hate to call for somebody's job, but I just think it might be time. I honestly think it might just be time. It pains me to say that. I'm a Yankee fan. It pains me to say this. It pains me to talk like this about them, but I got to call a spade a spade. I have to. But before I go, to make the episode end on a positive note, y'all know I got to do my Would You Rather segment, right? And this one is rather interesting, right? Because this question is, listen to my black folk out there, to my Hispanic folk out there, y'all might gravitate to this Would You Rather, right? So my question to y'all is, and would you rather eat peanut butter and jelly? Would you rather eat a peanut butter and jelly sandwich all day? Or would you rather eat a grilled cheese sandwich every day? That's the question that I have for you. Let's throw some food in this shit. Because a brother is hungry. And I'm going to get my grub on when I'm done recording. So yeah, that's the would you rather question. Would you rather eat peanut butter and jelly sandwich every day? Or would you rather eat a grilled cheese sandwich every day? That's the question that I have for y'all. But see, my answer is very much easy. It's very much easy. I'm going PBJ all day, every day. Twice on motherfucking Sunday. I love me some peanut butter and jelly. Love it. And nothing caps it off better with a nice cold glass of milk. I'm telling you, man. I'm telling you. Y'all don't know what y'all missing. You don't know what you missing if you never had a PBJ sandwich. Especially if you haven't had one in so long. And then you eat them shits. Shit. Come on, man. No better feeling in the world. No better feeling in the world. So, yes, I am going. And again, this is no knock to grilled cheese sandwiches. I love grilled cheese sandwiches. My mother makes some of the best grilled cheese sandwiches. But nah, I'm going PBJ all day. PBJ all day, twice on Sunday. Peanut butter and jelly sandwiches every day. That's what I'm choosing. So for y'all out there that are listening, That's the question. That's the would you rather. Would you rather peanut butter and jelly every day or grilled cheese every day? That's the question that I have for y'all. So it's a wrap for this episode. But before I go, like I said, I have to do a shout out. And this shout out is very well deserving because I forgot to give her a shout out the past few episodes. And that would be UConn Lady Husky Paige Beckers. And the reason why I'm shouting her out is because she has been cleared to get back on the basketball court. She has been cleared. Now, the past two seasons of hers have been hiccups. I believe she tore her ACL 1 year. Came back in the national title game against South Carolina, which UConn lost, which was the first time they lost in a national championship game. And then last season, she got hurt again. But see, that injury I blame Geno for. The game was a blowout. What is she still in the game for? Take her out. But I still love you, Geno, but come on now. But yes, she's back this year. And I believe this is her. I believe this is her last year. So, man, listen, that 2024 WNBA draft is going to be crazy, man. That shit going to be live, man. I'm telling y'all, that shit going to be crazy, man. But, yeah, shout out to Paige because she's back. She's 100% clear to get back on the basketball court. Because, listen, for all intents and purposes and very well deserving, last season was probably one of the best college basketball seasons I've ever witnessed. And I ain't just talking men. I'm talking period. With South Carolina, with LSU, when the emergence of Angel Reese, Caitlin Clark for crying out loud. You know what I'm saying? This season coming up, oh my God. We know Dawn Staley going to be there. We know that, okay? LSU is going to be the favorite. You know, you still got Angel Reese. You still got Flo-J. Haley is now, you know, Haley left Louisville to come over there now. Caitlin Clark. Iowa has sold out all their home games this upcoming season. I saw that on an IG post a few days ago. All their home games in Iowa is sold out this season. That's because of Caitlin Clark. That's a testament to Caitlin Clark. And now Paige is going to be back. And Fudd is back for Connecticut. Listen, Connecticut has been quiet for the past few years. If you don't think that they're not going to be in the title hunt, you better think again. You better think again. But yes, my shout out is Paige Beckers. And for that, it's a wrap for this episode. I want to thank y'all once again for y'all continued support. Keep it going. Keep it flowing. You can find me on iTunes, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, Podbean, just a couple of platforms you can find me on. On Facebook, you can find me, Dre Day. Instagram, Dre Day 1985, or Sportswear with Dre Day Podcast. And then on Twitter, Dre Day 1985. So there you have it. That's how you can find me. Thank y'all once again for y'all continued support. Keep it going. Keep it flowing. In closing, y'all know how this goes. This has been another episode of Sportswear with Dre Day Podcast. Catch y'all on the flip side. God bless. Peace and love. Your boy is out of here. Peace. Gotta end it with the peace. What up, what up, what up? It's your man Dre Day. And I have a PSA announcement for y'all. Did y'all know that only 38% of African Americans were able to identify financial terms on the PFN Index, an annual financial survey? Why is that? Because we're never given the tools to succeed in the financial sector. Will, with American Classic Agency, has been designing financial maps for his clients to succeed for over a decade for clients on both coasts. With Will, you will be able to create a game plan to get out of debt and create the wealth that you and your family deserve. If you're interested, please contact Will at willspady@gmail.com. That's willspady@gmail.com. Or call him at 443-810-0384.